You are listening to the Better Together podcast, brought to you by the National Association of Free Will Baptists.
Welcome to the Better Together podcast, where we look for ways we can work together to advance the gospel of Jesus Christ. Today we have Troy Sandowski. Many of you know him. He might have even been to your church, telling a little bit about his story and talking about estate planning with the Free Will Baptist Foundation. But Troy, it's so good to have you here with us today, my friend.
Thank you for having me. I've seen the podcasts, watched them, and I was wondering when you were going to get me on.
It took me a long time, Troy, but part of it could be there's so many Alabama fans out there, but I think there's something for them as well with this podcast today, don't you?
Oh, we can get them saved.
There you go. Absolutely. We can help them out.
Absolutely.
Now, speaking of all this, you came from an athletic family. You were quite the athlete in high school, weren't you?
I was. I played football, baseball, and basketball. My dad was a former major league pitcher. And we were a sports-minded family, even my mother. If my dad was working and he couldn't get to the ball field in time, my mom would get off of school early. She was a school teacher, and she would actually grab the book and make the starting lineup.
Oh, boy.
For my dad. So we were all very involved, and some of my earliest childhood memories come from the ball fields.
So a lot of people talk about playing Little League baseball. When you're doing pickup or your dad's, he's throwing like 80 miles an hour, isn't he, out there? Your little kid trying to hit the thing, right?
It was, and one of my earliest memories were going down with a Rubbermaid trash can full of baseballs, and my dad would get on the mound, and he was my hero, and he was about 6'3" at the time. And the first time I got into the batter's box, he threw the ball right at my helmet.
Oh, wow.
You know, they call it now buzzing the tower.
Yeah.
So my dad buzzed the tower, and I get out of there, and he looks at me, and he goes, "Son, what are you doing?" I said, "Dad, I don't want to get hit." And he goes, "Son, pain is temporary. Championships last a lifetime." So I bought into that.
Yeah.
And I got back in there, and the very next pitch, he plunked me in the back. He never came off of the mound. He was just standing there with his arms crossed, and he looked at me to wait for me to go through my crying spell. And then he looked at me and said, "Son, spit on it and get back in there." I can really pinpoint those times of with my dad as some of the most important times, because I was learning the little things that you put together to make a complete game, to become a complete ball player. And my dad taught me at an early age that when I crossed the field to go into a baseball diamond, basketball court, football field, whatever sport it is, I'm going out there to be the very best. Mm. Or why am I even going out?
There you go. And so you're playing all those sports. How do you end up playing football in college? How is it that that's the sport you go in?
Well, it was a selfish decision on my part. I mean, everybody expected me to follow my dad in his footsteps to become a baseball player. I also had two uncles. They were Ed, Ted, and Bob Sadowski, the three brothers that played. But it was I wanted to make a name for myself. I was always known as Bob Sadowski's son, and I wanted to do something outside of that. So it was a selfish decision on my part. When I was little, I didn't like football. I mean, I always told myself, why did my parents make me do this when I can go out and I can play baseball and I can play basketball and not get hit? But it was that selfish decision to make a name for myself that chose the football route.
And as part of that, you ended up really interacting a bit with a lot of legends, didn't you? A lot of football legends that we hear about and think about all the time.
Yeah. I was a journeyman in the NFL, so I played for six different teams over a 10-year period. So I was on a lot of rosters, a lot of locker rooms, and got to play with a lot of great players. But when I got saved, things changed. The people that I hung out in the locker room, it was a lot different. I was looking for like-minded people to be around, and it was hard at that time to find those people. But I did, and created a lot of lifetime friendships that I still talk to these people today.
That's great. So we want to make it clear, you were not just a regular football player at the University of Georgia going through. You were All-American, and that's when Vince Dooley was coaching. Also the days of Bear Bryant over at Alabama, which, you know, and all these different schools probably recruited you, tried to get you to come to their school. You go to Georgia, end up being a great tight end. Georgia's known for tight ends, aren't they?
Well, I appreciate that. Brock Bowers is there now, and I look at it that I was the university's first All-American tight end, Coach Dooley's first All-American tight end. I'm just warming the seat for Mr. Bowers.
And he's coming, isn't he?
Yes, he is. He'll be a multi-season All-American. Great, great player. Coach Dooley, love him. On his passing, I hate that because we lost a good one.
Mm-hmm.
He took an interest in the athletes outside of being a student athlete. You know, he wanted to bring in boys and create and them leave young men.
Mm-hmm.
And he really took an interest in us outside of that. And up till last year, every Christmas, he would come to Woodstock, Georgia at the Kroger to do book signings and stuff. So we're really going to miss that time that we had with Coach Dooley. And my heart and prayers go out to his family.
Yeah.
Good man.
Good man. And he did a lot for you. And you end up getting drafted. And you mentioned being a journeyman, so to speak, in the NFL. How was it that you came to know the Lord during all that time with all that was happening around you?
Well, it was difficult because I couldn't get out of my own way. I was my biggest problem. And the Lord used four people in my life. The first one was a high school football coach by the name of Jim Cagle. The first minute I walked through the doors of Chamblee High School, he was pursuing me. He was head of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes. And he wanted me to come to one of their meetings. And I told him, why do I want to do that? I didn't know anything about it, but I just said, here's this guy who is trying to push Jesus into my life. And, you know, I'm a teenager, young teen, and I've got everything under control. I was a know-it-all. And I turned him down, and then it got to the point. I went, and the only reason I did go, because I wanted to get him off my back.
Mm.
I was really good at going through life and checking boxes
mm-hmm.
and moving on, and nothing was getting accomplished in my life. Second opportunity that the Lord used was a position player in the University of Georgia, position coach Charlie Whittemore, and some of the players on the team. They brought him into my life. And second time I heard the gospel, and I chose to ignore it because I was the big man on campus. You know, it's really neat when you go into a classroom of 350 people, and when they call out your name on the roll, everybody turns around because they wanted to see what you looked like.
Mm-hmm.
They heard your name on television or saw you play in the game, and now they got to see you in person. And I ate that up, and I desired that. I thought I was the big man on campus. And then another person was Ken Moyer in the NFL at the Cincinnati Bengals. He's still there as team chaplain to this day. And I kept turning these people down and turning Jesus down and turning my back on him. And he kept pursuing me. I look at him as the Mark chapter 2, tear off the roof type of Christians.
Mm.
And we all know the story of the friends that had the paralyzed friend. They knew that if they could get him to Jesus,
yes,
something amazing could happen. And they got there, well, it was standing room only. That didn't stop them.
Yeah.
They're the tear off the roof type of Christians that we all should strive to be like. They went up on the roof. They busted a hole in the roof. They lowered their friend down. Jesus was so moved by their faith through their actions that a miracle happened.
Wow.
That man's sins were forgiven, and he got up and walked off. Fourth time, Buddy Harris. I was at a church, First Baptist Church of Woodstock, and I was listening to the pastor preach. And for the first 40 minutes, it was everything that he talked about dealt directly with me and my life. And it spooked me.
Mm.
I'm thinking to myself, how does this pastor know so much about me? He's got to be following me around. And if
yeah.
it's not him, it's one of those deacons.
Yeah, so, somebody's doing something.
Somebody's definitely following me around because he knows too much about me and my life. And I was raised Catholic. We weren't practicing Catholics by any means, but we went on special occasions and holidays. And I'm not bashing on the Catholic faith, but I never got anything out of it.
Mm-hmm.
To me, it was a more of a theatrical performance. They talked about Scripture, they read Scripture, but what they never did, they never delved into that intimate personal relationship that Jesus Christ desires to have with each and every one of us.
Mm.
So it never sunk into me. And And then there was this at the church, an altar call. They don't have that.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, what are these people doing?
Yeah.
Why would they get up in the middle of the, and start walking down? And to me, that was the walk of shame. I'm thinking to myself, why would they do that? Because everybody in here is a hypocrite anyway. And all they're going to do is jump to judgment and say, hey, look at that guy right there. That's that football player. He's got problems. I went down, I looked at the pastor, and I said, Pastor, you don't know me. I don't know you. I've been sitting on the back row for the last 4 weeks. He said, I seen you back there. So if you think you're pulling something over to the pastor, yeah, you're not.
He knows.
They're like Jedi masters. Yeah. They know all and they see all.
Yeah.
But little did I know that walk that I took was the walk of glory.
Mm.
I went down. He paired me up with an altar counselor, Vic Smith, one of the most humble, gentle, godly men that I've ever met. We went back. And when I was growing up, my dad taught me that if you cried, it was you were weak. Mm. You know, hide that. You don't want people to know that you're weak. I was in a terrible place. I was weak, and I needed help. And I accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. And from that point on now, it has been the most incredible ride that I could ever imagine.
Wow. Wow. So a lot of people look and say, wow, Troy's got the life. And Troy's like, no, Jesus was not in my life. Everything and all these people were kind of building up to it. High school, college, the NFL, where people took the time to try to get the gospel to you, and it finally paid off at that moment.
I denied him three times. And the fourth time, like on fourth down,
yeah.
I got it and scored a touchdown. And like I said, it's been incredible. I mean, because I get to go out now and I visit churches all around the country with the estate planning stuff that we do with the foundation mm-hmm. here. And a lot of them are asking me to share my testimony
mm-hmm.
in the morning service.
And athletics are as big now as they were all these years ago. So this is a good opportunity for you, really, isn't it? People think best thing you could ever do is play in the NFL, most important thing you could ever do, and you're able to talk to them about what really is important, what really matters.
And that's funny that you bring that up because the Ron Hunter from D6 contacted me about their conference
yeah.
down in Orlando about me doing a breakout session when it comes to sports in church. And a lot of people... athletes are put on a pedestal. I look at it as God was providing me for a platform that was higher than most
mm-hmm.
to praise him and what he's done in my life. But a lot of people don't look at it that way. A lot of people, sports comes first over church, and we're getting it wrong. And what are we doing now to equip our young children and young men to become future leaders within the denomination.
Yeah.
And I'm excited about that opportunity to share with people my thoughts on this, because it's different now. My thought process way back in the day was warped.
Yeah.
And now it's been straightened out.
That's great. So you're listening in, you're like, man, I'd like to get Troy to come to talk to some of my parents, some of our young people. They could do that. Could kind of do a two-for-one situation. Talk about estate planning.
Exactly. it is. It's almost like, was it two birds hitting two birds with one stone?
That's it.
And I love what I do, because I know that the work that I do with the foundation here is going to be a blessing to the immediate families, but also in the future.
Yeah. So we appreciate what you're doing, my friend, and you're listening and you're like, yeah, but I'm an Alabama fan. Well, somewhere you've got a letter from Paul Bryant, from Bear Bryant.
I do.
So there's probably a lot of folks that you interacted with back in the day that whoever a person pulls for it could learn a little bit.
It's funny you said that, because I was talking to a gentleman the other day, actually, that was an Alabama fan. It's funny, I went down to Florida to Beulah Church.
Yeah.
It was in Pensacola, and I think I'm crossing the border. I'm in Florida. I'm going to get a lot of Seminole fans.
Right.
And Gator fans. No, it was Alabama. And he pointed that out. And I told him that I had it. I know it's in my attic somewhere. I just don't know which box that it's in. But I would really like to get it and frame it and put it on my wall.
Yeah.
Because he was a remarkable man and a remarkable coach.
He was. And you got to interact with all those folks and still able to show, hey, I did all that. But really, don't forget, you were talking to the parents, the big thing, the main thing. I learned the main thing out in the NFL or after the NFL. Coming to Christ.
Well, I think that 10 years in the NFL, I had them all fooled.
Yeah. Well, we appreciate you, my friend. Thank you for stopping in with us today and sharing a little bit about your story. And folks want to talk to you more. How can they get in touch with you?
I don't think I should put out my telephone number here. I mean, look what the Tennessee fans did with Stetson Bennett with his telephone number. Yeah. I guess he had throughout the night before the game, they were calling him, leaving messages on his phone. And when he scored that first touchdown, he said, you know, did the whole phone thing.
Yeah.
But I guess the best way would be Troy Sadowski at Comcast. .net. That's my email address. Mm-hmm. They can just shoot me an email and I'll get back to them as quickly as possible.
That's great. Well, thank you for joining us today, my friend. Thank you for how you're letting the Lord use you and the good stuff you're doing for our denomination as well with this estate planning business.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure being here.
Thank you, brother. And we want to thank you that are listening. Please take this podcast, share it with those that might benefit. Remember, every little thing we do really matters and helps advance the cause of Christ. We truly are better together.